Hey everybody, Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks. We talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. Today, I'm in LifeWord Studios broadcasting in over 170 languages to 127 countries to a potential listening audience of 2 billion people. You can find all of our content at lifeword.org. Today, we're talking about one of the most sensitive and heartbreaking issues affecting individuals and families today. I also believe it is one of the topics that we are very ill prepared for as churches and as Christians. That is suicide. According to the World Health Organization, more than 700,000 people die by suicide every year. That's one person every 40 seconds around the world. In America, one person dies every 11 minutes. This is not just a secular issue. It affects believers, pastors, teens and youth groups, and even those that we think are spiritually strong. As followers of Christ, we are called to be the light in the darkness, and this includes walking with people who are battling despair and hopelessness and suicidal thoughts. So how should a Christian respond when someone says, "I want to end my life. I want to commit suicide"? The first step is to not preach, not correct, not even to quote scripture. It's to listen. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Someone who is expressing suicidal thoughts is not just seeking attention. They're often overwhelmed by the emotional pain that they don't know how to carry. And Jesus himself showed compassion to those in pain. Consider how he dealt with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, not with condemnation, but with understanding and his presence. So when we're dealing with someone who is thinking about suicide or has these ideologies of killing themselves, one of the practical tips that we can do is to ask open-ended questions. Can you tell me more about what you're feeling? When did you begin to feel this way? The next tip is not to panic. Your calm presence communicates care. And for the most important thing, I think, as Christians, is to avoid cliches like just pray more, or to say God's not going to give you more than you can handle, which we know through Scripture is not true. He will give us more than we can handle to make us completely depend upon him. But instead, we should say, "I'm here. I want to understand." Maybe say, "You matter to God, and you matter to me." So we have to understand that in these times, we must first listen. First listen with the heart of Christ. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image." Human life is sacred. Suicide contradicts the truth that every person has a God-given worth and purpose, but when someone is suicidal, they often lost the ability to feel their own value. Remind them gently that you're made in God's image. Your life has value not because of what you do, but because of who made you. We can look to scriptures like Psalms chapter 139, verse 13 and 14, it says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Affirm that God's intentionality in their existence, even when they cannot see it. I have counseled with many people who have attempted suicide, and I often get the same answer, is that they did not want to die, but they didn't know any other way to make it stop. So many times we see pastors or CEOs of Fortune 500 companies who die by suicide because they have found their identity in their work. And so when they lose that status, or they feel like they're going under, their value is depreciated to a point of where they feel like they have no value. But the simple fact that you were created by God Almighty should give you purpose. You may say, well, Dr. Brian, you just don't understand. And you're right, I don't understand. I do not understand your position, your situation. We may not understand how someone may feel that way. There are those of us who have never struggled with suicidal ideologies. However, we can be there and we can be present with them, and we can assure them that they do have purpose in this life. While one person's compassion matters deeply, none of us are called to carry the weight of this world alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, two are better than one. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. So what does that mean practically? Well, if someone is actively suicidal, do not leave them alone. Help them connect with a counselor, a pastor, or a family member, or even a suicide hotline. If the situation is urgent, call 911. But we have to understand and we have to be there for them. And while we may not comprehend why they feel like they feel, however they feel, it's okay. As much as we should be thankful that they have enough trust in us that they would share this moment with us. And so we don't have to do it alone, but even we as responders have to understand that we are not doing this alone. And you are not betraying their trust by getting help. You are protecting their life. So many times we see things and we don't know what to do, so we pass them off to someone else. And we have to understand that in these situations and these times, this person is in one of the most vulnerable times of their life. So we have to be very careful of how we treat the situation, but we have to stay close to them. We have to let them know that they're not alone. And the more people that we rally behind them, the better help they're going to get. Again, you're not betraying their trust. You're saving their life. People don't usually want to die. As I've said, I've counseled many people who have attempted suicide that said they didn't want to die. They just wanted the pain to end. As Christians, we believe in a God who entered into our suffering. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence." The hope we offer is not a quick fix, but it is the hope in the person of Jesus. Jesus, a man of sorrows, we see in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. A man who wept, John chapter 11, 35. Jesus cried when Lazarus died. We also see the person of Jesus who overcame death. Even if life is overwhelming, hope is never gone because Christ is alive. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the hope of God fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him." Now, I understand that someone who maybe having suicidal ideologies, they are stuck in the lie that there is no hope. And just offering them the scripture sometimes doesn't bring any hope. They have been so buried in the weight of their depression or their circumstance that they cannot see the hope in front of them. That's why it's important for us to stand in the gap, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, to offer them hope. Then we should encourage the person to walk in this journey of healing, it not just this one-time conversation. It's easy for us to get busy with the things of life and kind of forget about everything that's going on with someone. If someone has put their trust in you to be their confidant, to be the person that they trusted enough to share that they were dealing with this experience, you need to make sure that you go out of your way to check on them, whether that means you have to put margin in your day to check on them, or whether you need to go to their house and see them, or you need to invite them to lunch, or you need to send them a text. Whatever it is, we have to understand that we've got to walk this journey with them. This isn't a one and done. There needs to be prayer and scripture to bring this spiritual comfort, Christian counseling who can give practical tools, or medication when needed. Friend, I'll share with you, medication is not a sign of weak faith. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Help them build a support system. Most of these people do not have a support system. They don't have a faith community or friends or mentors or professionals to help them along the way. They need that system. They need to know that someone cares, that someone's listening, that somebody will pick up the phone at 3 a.m., that someone is there for them and with them. And we need to pray. Pray boldly. Pray boldly, but tenderly. Prayer isn't magic, but it's powerful. It is powerful. When you pray for someone in pain, you should speak God's promises. The promises like Romans 8:38, 8:39, say you're not alone. Nothing can separate us from His love. Ask the Holy Spirit to give them comfort, to give us wisdom and guidance, but to give them peace. And ask for strength to make it just one day at a time. And sometimes it's 1 minute or 1 hour at a time that we can make it through. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Let your prayer for them reflect that you believe that verse, not just as theology, but as a truth for this vital minute. Ultimately, it's not our role to fix, but to walk with. We do not have the power to overcome the things of this world except by and through the person of Jesus. We all will encounter in our life someone who's having thoughts of hurting themselves. And we have to understand today that our words have power, but also that our heart, our tender heart, can bring peace that passes understanding through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When someone is thinking about suicide, they need a couple of things. They need someone who will see them. They need to be seen. They need to be heard without judgment or condemnation, without saying, I don't know how you could feel that way, or that's not true. But someone who will see them, someone who will hear them. They need someone who will stay. And maybe that's that you physically stay with them, or that you are in constant contact. We talk a lot about a no harm agreement. And what that is, whether it is a spoken agreement or in some cases a written agreement, that that person will not harm themselves until they see you at such and such date and time. And most likely, the person who makes that agreement will hold to that agreement simply because they feel seen, they feel heard, they know you're there. They need someone who will speak hope into their situation. You may not be a counselor, but you can be a compassionate friend. You can be the hands and feet of Jesus. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If you're listening today and you're struggling yourself, please know this. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not beyond help, and you're not without hope. Help is available. Healing is possible. And Christ is with you even now. If you feel like you are contemplating suicide, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline by dialing 988 or texting 988. You can also contact the Christian Counselors Network at www.aacc.net. Thank you for listening today about a subject that is both painful and necessary. And we as Christians can comfort those who have lost family and friends in suicide. We can help. We can give hope in the greatest time of need. Thank you for listening today. And we're on LifeWord here today. You can find all of our Christian content at lifeword.org. You can find me at the.brian.com. Thank you for being with us today. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.